It's the World Rock Countdown featuring Virus of the band Dope. It's the World Rock Countdown. We got an awesome guest today. He plays in the band called Dope. You also seen him on stage with the band called Device. It's Virus. How's it going, man?
It's going good, buddy. Good to be here.
It's amazing that you had a time, took time out of your day to do this. And, well, you're a self-taught guitar player. What influenced you to pick up the guitar, or have you always been around music?
Well, I mean, I think that mostly for all of us, it starts when you're like an early teenager. You know what I mean? Like, you get drawn into the music that you fall in love with, and then you start going, man, I wonder if I can create this myself. So then you, you pick up a guitar and you just kind of start plugging away. That's what happened to me, and I've never really done anything different. So still doing it, man.
What's the brand of your first guitar ever?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I know it was like a shitty acoustic that my mom had, and I don't even know if it had a name. I think it was just like a no-name guitar, if I remember correctly.
And now how many guitars do you own?
Now? Oh my gosh. I probably have like 30 or 40.
Just spanning over different brands, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been with Dean Guitars since 2000. So I have a great relationship with them. In fact, my singer Edsel does now as well. And I'm actually in the venue right now. And when you go into Guitar World over here today, I'm going to say that like 90% of the guitars here for all the bands are from Dean Guitars. So I've got to watch Dean just grow into this huge guitar company in the last 20 years. So I'm just glad that that I can be a part of it.
That's awesome. Playing exclusively with the guitar company that Dimebag made famous, you know? So that's amazing, man.
Yeah, like before Dime came back, like I was like the only guy using Dean way back in the day. And then, you know, Dime came back and then the floodgates opened and everybody kind of started coming in, you know?
Oh, yeah. So your way into the band Dope has some long ties with Static X since the bass player Trip Eisen left to join them. Can you explain how you discovered or stumbled upon the opportunity to join such an awesome band like Dope?
First Trip Eisen was fired from Dope. He was fired. Yes.
Oh, wow.
And this is all old news. This is like old news. But yeah, he was fired from Dope, and then he got into Static X, and then he did great things by going to jail. So whatever. Yeah. What was the question? I just want to clear that up.
Can you explain to me how you stumbled upon the opportunity to be part of this amazing band?
Well, I got an audition in 2000, and then here I am.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, yeah. It's been, next year will be 20 years now.
Wow.
It'll be 2020. So, yeah, dude, it's been a long ride and, you know, a lot of valleys and mountains. But it's been really fun. We're having a blast right now.
Well, the fact that you just don't do this, you actually compose music for video game companies, Disney, ESPN. How do you switch gears to compose and produce different material?
Well, for me, it's not really switching any gears. I feel like it's all part of the same process, you know, like whether I'm making an album with Edsel for Dope, or whether it's making music for, you know, a wrestling thing. Like for me, it's all just creating and composing. And I love it so much because it allows you to do different things. You know, like Dope is just a very specific composition, right? Like, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. We get a lot of fans around the world. It's definitely got its own vibe. So you kind of, you know, you stick within a couple, you know, there's definitely a lane for Dope, but then like you get to do something weird. Like you get to cover like a song by like Foghat, and you get to, or like Loverboy, and you get to make it cool and sing it differently than you would on a Dope album. So, you know, it's just, it's the same process. It's just, you just got to figure out like how you're going to get it done. You know what I mean? And that's part of the fun. You get to change it up.
Absolutely. So from what I read, you auditioned for Edge of U2 to score the spot on the Spider-Man musical on Broadway.
I did. I had a, there's this, a drummer friend of mine, his name is John Clancy. And, I remember when living in New York City, I hired him. He just graduated college and I hired him. I took him on tour in this band I was in, of this girl I was producing at the time. And, so we kept in contact, and then later on, you know, it turns out like he, and he's a brilliant musician. His name's John Clancy. And he's actually the guy who composed Shrek the Musical. Like, wow. The guy's amazing musician. So anyway, so he already had this gig for Spider-Man on Broadway, and you too wrote all the music for it. So he's like, hey, I got you an audition to come down and, you know, cause I did Rock of Ages. So on Broadway. So he was like, why don't you know, audition for this thing, this Broadway musical that's coming out. You two wrote the music. So I was like, of course. So I went down there and, was actually like hired by the Edge. You know, he was the one, supervising, the band and hiring the band. And, I had a really great audition and, he hired me. It was pretty amazing. Ridiculous.
That's amazing. So he was there in the room with you where you auditioned?
No, what they did was his guitar tech was there. So like when I got there, like there were his amps and like his pedal board that he wanted everybody to use. And then they recorded me. There was a whole Pro Tools rig in there and his guitar tech. And there was a video camera set up. So like everybody would come in, they'd run through the songs and they would videotape you. Then they would send obviously the videos to the Edge. And then here I am, you know, and they got the gig. It's pretty amazing.
That's absolutely insane. I mean, the whole process, how long did the show go for?
The show ran only for a couple of years. It really didn't do that well. It's very expensive. I can't remember how long it ran, but it didn't do too well out of the gate either. It was like there's so much overhead, and you know they're doing all this crazy shit, like it's Spider-Man, so they're flying them all over the theater, blah 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 blah. So it's just a lot of money, a lot of planning, and one by one, like in Rock of Ages that I do as well on Broadway, like you're on the stage in the show, so. It was supposed to be the same for Spider-Man, but then they started running out of room for the band on the stage because they had all this production. And then one by one, like there was no band on stage. And then it just kept, I don't know. It was a tough show, I guess. It's not really my world, you know, Broadway production. You know, I play the band, you know? So I don't really know exactly all the logistics, but it just didn't go that well and it didn't run that long. And it was a lot of expenses, so just didn't do that well.
Now I'm just thinking back. This is the exact play or musical that the Spider-Man guy playing Spider-Man, he was doing something and he like fell into the crowd and hurt himself, and they had to postpone the show. I remember reading that.
There was a couple times too where like like he got kind of hung up, and like you know because he's flying over the crowd, but like there's a couple times where there were some mishaps and. He got kind of hung up there in the air. Like, yeah, just, it was a tough show. I'm just glad that I got to be a part of it, you know, but, it was a tough show.
Are you planning on being part of any other musical coming up?
Well, if they hire me, I definitely will do it. Definitely.
That's amazing. You've played on some massive tours featuring Black Label Society, Seven Dust, Mudvayne.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. During that, you still teach music to people. Do you have a desire to teach, or where does it come from?
Well, I teach when I'm home. Like if I'm not on tour, I gotta keep playing to make money. So I teach when I'm home. And, you know, as I get older, I've been really focusing on it more because, you know, I'm getting older and, I'm not touring as much as I used to. Unless I get into another band that's touring more, but, I've been embracing the teaching aspect of my life, just just because, you know, I'm going to be home, you know, at some point all the time. You know, I'm like, I'm going to be 65 years old at some point in the future. And what am I going to do? Be jumping around like an idiot, wearing makeup and, you know, playing heavy metal? I don't know. But so I just got to kind of plan for the future. You know what I mean?
Well, anything's possible. I actually talked to Rudy Sarzo yesterday, and he said that that Randy Rhoads taught on tour as well. Like, he'd make a point to teach kids and give out lessons. So it's great to give back in some way, sort of form, right? Here comes a very interesting question for you. When you're on tour with all these bands in the past and they're not around today, do you ever think, like for me, I always think, do you think Mudvayne will ever reunite?
Yeah, I can't believe they haven't done it yet. I cannot believe they haven't done it. Like, that's a big band right there. And I'm not sure the dynamics. Like, I know Chad and Greg, like, I don't know what's going on with them. I'm not in their business. But you figure that, you know, four guys can suck it up and go out and make the fans happy and make some money, you know. It just seems like that's what you do. Like, that's part of the biz. Especially for a big band like that. I don't know why they haven't. I think that they would be successful. You know, everybody else is doing it. It's good for the fans. Like, it's 20 years since our first album. So, like, we're out here celebrating. And Static X, you know, Wisconsin, it's been Death Trip. It's, like, 20 years since that album, and we're celebrating that. Like, the fans love it. You know, this is a sold-out tour. You know? So, yeah, Mudvayne, like, you figure they would want to capitalize on all the hard work that they've done. But, you know, I don't know those guys well enough. I don't know what's going on with them.
And there's so much demand as well. Like, I think that they're a bigger band than Hell Yeah ever was too, right? So,
oh yeah, they're way bigger than Hell Yeah. Way bigger. But again, like, there's a lot of factors that go involved. You know, is Hell Yeah on tour right now? I think that they are.
Yes, they are.
You know, like, they're busy doing their own. Yeah, so it's like, it's all timing and stuff like that, so.
So you played in the band called Device with David Drainman. So they're dead, right? The band is dead.
Well, I mean, he pulled the plug on it. I mean, David's in Disturbed, and Disturbed is one of the biggest bands in the world. So that's his main priority. When the band was on hiatus, you know, he was like, hey, let's do this record. And that wasn't planned either. It was like, he did a couple songs for that soundtrack, and then it was like, hey, you want to keep writing tunes and making music? He was like, yeah, sure. And then it turned into being an album. And so that was that. And then we toured on that record. That was pretty fun. But then, you know, he's got to go back to his job, which is Disturbed. And Disturbed's been, what, touring now for 2-3 years now? And capitalizing on their great success. So it only makes sense. That's his main gig.
Did you know Wayne Static at all?
I mean, I knew him, yes, of course, but not like Edsel does, or not like Gacy does, just because I wasn't around on that first album. And that's when they did all those tours together. I've done, you know, shows with Static X, of course, being in Dope, and back in the early days when both bands' records came out the same year, 99, like, they did all that touring together, so I don't have a lot of Wayne stories, if that's what you're asking.
How has the music industry changed from 1999 till now?
Oh God, it's awful. It's just, I mean, we make ice cream and no one buys ice cream anymore. That's not the only way I can really put it. Think of it that way. Like, if, say you paint houses for a living. Well, no one wants to buy your house painting service. They just paint their own houses, or they steal it. So it's like, that's what it's like nowadays, dude.
Rudy Sarzo told me yesterday that rock and roll needs to disappear for a few years. They need to burn it down and bring it back. He kind of had the old comparison to the Beatles and all these rock bands in the 70s, and then they kind of disappeared, with an exception of a few bands, and there was funk and disco, and this and that. And then all of a sudden rock came back, but he thinks that rock and, you know, metal, I think metal honestly has a bigger fan base than rock in general these days, but it's more like a religious following, kind of like country, but you know, metal trumps country anytime, anywhere. So how many more shows do you have on this tour?
We're like halfway. We're done on this leg, you know, we're done at the end of the month, like July 28th or something. But, you know, there's a whole other leg coming in the fall for the U.S., which is they're just being announced now. So we'll be back November, December on another leg of this awesome tour. So for the people that didn't get a chance to see some shows on this run, because it's been, you know, everything's selling out, you know, we'll be back around in different markets. Might have to drive a little bit, you know, if it's not in your town that you couldn't get into this tour. But, you know, November, December, man, we get back from Europe in October, and then we're home for a couple weeks, and then we're back out here again in the States. So we'll see everybody really soon again.